Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
Amen. Now let's open our Bible to John chapter 15 as we continue on our series titled Abiding. This is such a beautiful and magnificent chapter in the Word of God. I have a book in my library that's about really John chapter 13 and 14 through 17. If you happen to have one of those Bibles where the words of Christ are in red, you'll notice that when 14 starts, it's practically all of the words in these chapters, all the way through the end of 17, are the words of Christ. And one Puritan author called these chapters the inner chamber, the inner sanctuary. And what's beautiful, what I love about these chapters, and in particular, as we talk about John chapter 15, is this was a time when Jesus was not preaching to the masses. He was preaching to his close followers. And he was sharing his heart with those that were really walking with him and close to him. And it was in that moment and in that context that he was calling them to abide with him. How many want to be close to Jesus in 2016? Amen. And so we want to respond to this call to abide. And I want to go ahead and just say right up front what the title of the message is today, because you know the series. Last week it was Abide to be Fruitful. Today it's Abide to be Prayerful. Abide to be Prayerful is the title of the message. And even though we talked about being fruitful last week in a broad sense, I would suggest to you that one of the most fruitful ways God can make us, one of the ways that God can make us most fruitful, should I say, is by impacting our prayer lives. It's by impacting our prayer lives. And I want to say this to you also before we get into the text. Okay, very important, just simple statement, but listen to this. Your prayer life will change your life in 2016. Let's say this together. Your prayer life will change your life in 2016. It is impossible to really seek God and not become like God. It's impossible to draw near to God, to really be praying. One of the things that happens with people is that even though they have access to God, they don't abide. They don't abide. But how many know abiding is praying? You know, if you're in an elevator, and many of us, we've gotten in an elevator before with other people, and sometimes the elevator is super slow. And after a while, how many have noticed that silence can get awkward? Right? But I bet you, if the elevator gets stuck, you start talking to people. Why? It's because when you're with people, you talk to them. So listen to me. When you're with God, you talk to God, and God talks to you. And that's what this whole message is about. And I'm telling you right now, your prayer life will change your life. Some people try to say that prayer is a calling for special people, for preachers, look, there is a call to preach. There is a call to worship lead or to music. There's a call. There are different types of calls that are placed on different people in the kingdom, a call to administration, you know, a call to serve children. Heidi has a special anointing to minister to our children, especially. She's been trained for it. She's inclined to it. It flows through her heart, you know. And so there are different calls that God places on different people's lives, but God places the call to abide on everyone. Everyone should be a prayer. See, some people think, oh, I've literally heard people say, but I don't feel called to pray. What? How many know we're all called to pray? My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Amen? And you know, this past, just real quickly, yesterday I was talking to somebody who's doing their young person in their early 20s, doing their undergrad, and here's what they said to me. They said to me, you know, I remember last year when we started the fast. I remember what you were preaching about, and I remember the things that I was praying about. And now this is a new year, and I've got new challenges, and God is really calling me to grow. It was so refreshing. This was such a refreshing, encouraging talk for me. She said, and God is really challenging me and calling me to grow. And she said, but you know, I look back over the year, and I didn't say, guess what I'm preaching on tomorrow. You know, she's just talking. She said, you know what I realized? She says, I realized that prayer really changes things. It really does. We just talk to the Lord. Powerful, powerful things happen. So let's look at John chapter 15 now. And let's take this in. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. We were kind of talking about that on Tuesday. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And then he says these precious words, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you abide in me, in fact, let's read this. This is the key. These two verses are the key, but I want to read verse 7 together. Ready? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Abide to be prayerful. Notice how abiding leads to prayer, okay? He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And we will stop there. Let's have a quick moment of prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. And God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that our hearts are really warm today. It's cold outside, but it's warm inside of our hearts because we feel your presence here, God, because you're so good, Lord. And Lord, as we start this year, we desire to get close to you. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, teach us to pray. Help us to pray. Teach us to abide, oh God. Lord, I pray that every heart, Lord, not just our minds, but that every heart would hear this call from you, Lord Jesus, to abide, to talk, to spend time together, to be deeply and mysteriously connected. So bless this word now and bless every life, bless every home, oh God, with the blessings of abiding. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So as we talk about abiding to be prayerful, and as we open up this text, there is a redundancy. Jesus is repeating himself about something that we have to talk about before we actually get to the prayer side of this text. There's something that has to happen. But it's right there in the text. And even though this is the journey to be prayerful, the first thing I believe this text points out is that abiding breaks the sin of self-sufficiency. In order to pray well, there's something that has to be broken in us, and it's the sin of self-sufficiency. When you're self-sufficient, you do things in your own strength, and your propensity is not to abide. Okay, so let's look at what the text says here. Okay, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Here it is, for apart from me, you can do, everyone, you can do nothing, okay? And so one of the first things, while Jesus is trying to lead us into this beautiful, amazing prayer life, one of the things that he has to emphasize is, as long as you try to do things on your own, you can do nothing. And the truth of the matter is that one of the first things that the Lord actually needs to do in our lives is break this sense of, I can do this thing in my own strength. When we abide, there's something that is broken in us. Okay, something breaks inside of us when we abide. If anyone has been fasting this week, we're talking about it. Okay, if anyone has been fasting in this last week, we've all had a moment where your flesh was longing. Your flesh was longing for something. And as your flesh longs for that thing, right, it's your self-desire. As your flesh is longing for it, and you go, no, Lord, I know my flesh wants that, but my spirit wants you. Man, that's where everything begins to change. I was telling Pastor Dave, and I had a strange occurrence on the second day of the fast. And I don't know if I'll say this in all of the services, but let me try to say this quickly. So I'm fasting many things. Coffee is not one of them. So I went to get coffee at Starbucks, and something very interesting happened. You know, this was like the second or third day of the fast. And so I go to park, and when I'm going to park, it's a very narrow street. I go to park, I hit the thing, and when I go to back up, a young woman, a professional, kind of really like together looking, you know, yuppie type, if I could say that. She, instead of letting me park, she zips right up on my car. Okay? And so I was actually on the phone, hands-free. And I'm trying to park. And instead of letting me park the way you're supposed to, she kind of got close up. And so I didn't think about the moment. I just opened up my car, and I walked over to her and said, Miss, I'm trying to park. And she said, move up. She said, move up so I can pass. I said, I'm trying to park. You see the signal? That means park. Move back. Right? I wasn't rude to her. God is my witness. I wasn't rude or anything. But it kind of like bothered me. I was like, man, you can't even park. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, she did move back, and then I parked. And then I actually got off the phone, and I'm standing online, and I'm telling you, I was hit with such profound conviction. I was so convicted. And the reason that I was convicted, and I promise you, I was not rude, but the reason that I was so convicted was I thought about Annie, okay, my daughter. I thought about her not being mindful of what she's doing when she's driving. And, you know, Annie got my mother's side, and so Annie's like this big, you know. She's a little thing. And I thought about Annie driving up on a guy like that. and a big 6'3" man getting out and walking up to her window. And I thought, you know, I wasn't trying to intimidate the lady, but I forgot for that moment. I don't walk around thinking I'm 6'3", you know what I'm saying? But in the climate of our city, in the context of all the craziness that's going on, you know, when I told that lady, no, back up, you know what she did? She went, zzzz. And I didn't even realize that I may have scared her. It didn't even dawn on me that I might have intimidated her, that she did the calculation and said, giant guy standing by my window, you know, I won't fight for my rights today. I'm just backing up. You know, but here's the thing. Because I am on this fast, right? Because I am, I felt like it opened up like a channel for me to see myself. You know? And we take for granted how much self is really in us. You know, there's a difference between right and wrong and godly. I had the right of way. You know, I was right. Even I wasn't even rude. But see, when you really abide, the first thing that happens is that he starts to break self. The sin of self-sufficiency, me, myself, I, what I want, what I feel, when that is broken, then things begin to change. Then you start to step into a realm of grace, a realm of spiritual understanding. A lot of the reasons why people don't really grow in God and move forward in God is because since we don't spend time in the presence of God, since we fill all of our time with the news and with Facebook or this or that, and we're filler, busy. That self part of us, even though it's subtle, self causes us to miss out on the deep, beautiful, wonderful connection that we could have with Jesus. And so, one of my heroes in the faith, Andrew Murray, once, he preached about the sin of self-sufficiency. And there's a breaking that takes place. And there's a, when you pray or when you abide, because remember, abiding is being in the presence of God. Abiding is being connected to God. And when you abide, you start to talk to God and God starts to talk to you. And really, there's not a room, a lot of room for self. And one of the ways that you know if there's a lot of self is not, remember this, okay? You don't gauge your selfishness by your grading of selfishness. You gauge your selfishness by spending time in the presence of God. Because when you spend time in the presence of God, that's when you get the clarity. And so a person who doesn't pray, a person who doesn't abide, okay, when we don't abide, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And how many know nothing means nothing? You see? So here's when we open the message by saying prayer will change your life in 2016, it's because prayer reflects dependence, and dependence reflects prayer. Okay? Listen. Prayer reflects dependence, and dependence is reflected by prayer. What is your prayer life? Because your prayer life will tell you a lot about your self life. And when he talks about this passage of Scripture, this is so powerful. The first thing that Jesus is saying to those that he loves, these are loving words, these are tender words, these are kind words. The first thing that he says to them is, look, just remember, you can't do this in your own strength. Al Toledo, you cannot do this in your own strength. you're simply not strong enough. Listen to this. When we begin to abide, self-effort is broken, which opens us up to a wonderful realm of grace. There's something wonderful that is opened up. And also remember, listen, also remember, self-sufficiency is the opposite impulse to faith and prayer. I knew it couldn't be quiet for this point, Lord. But that's okay. That's good. It's good that we're thinking. It's good that we're drinking this in. Remember, self never says pray. Okay? Self never says pray. Self says, I got this. Okay? So sometimes we can say, well, I go to church and I even read this devotion. You know, okay, that's fantastic. But do you spend time with God? Okay? We're not talking about the discipline of prayer. We're talking abiding, the mysterious oneness. So the first thing that when we really talk about the whole issue of abiding, remember, abiding has to break self. It breaks the sin of self-sufficiency. The sin of self-sufficiency is just overshadows everything about us. And the crazy thing is that we don't even realize it. There's a big difference between godly and just right and wrong. How many know godly is deeper? So that's the first thing that this teaches us. And then this teaches us something also that is so wonderful and so powerful, and that is that abiding leads to aligning. Abiding leads to aligning. Let's say this together. Abiding leads to aligning. There is a powerful alignment that takes place. Look at what the text says here. If you abide in me, and look at these words that are made bold, and my words abide in you. Okay, so remember the first pass on this, he just says, abide in me and I in you. Now he's going deeper. Now he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. This is a deep conversation here, guys. And my words abide in you. Watch. Okay, then it says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Okay, so now, is Jesus really giving us the name it and claim it gospel right here? Ask for a boat, ask for a car, ask for two houses, ask for four houses, ask for this. Is that what he's saying? That's not what he's saying. That's why he qualifies it by saying, if you abide in me, and now watch, it's my words, abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Why is that? It's because there is a powerful alignment that takes place. Listen, abiding is an alignment which leads to fulfillment. Abiding is an alignment which leads to fulfillment. So you spend time with God, and now God's words start to penetrate our spirit. Okay, his words begin to penetrate our spirit. When the Bible says, and my words abide in you, that means that the words of Christ himself are starting to penetrate our spirit. Here's the way I would put it to you today, okay? When his word becomes a personal word, our will begins to change in a deep way. Okay? When the words of Christ start to become personal, there's a change that takes place in our will, okay? And that's why you'll notice that you grow in God. You know what? Could you guys play, play I Give Myself Away? That's an oldie but goodie. And here's what happens. And we talk about this all the time. You know you're growing in God when you go from saying, I feel, to the Bible says. You know, it's incredible how people have conversations about things, and and some people will say, well, I feel this and I feel that. Well, I feel this, I feel that, I feel this. But you know that you're growing in God, okay, that you're abiding in Him and His Word is abiding in you when you replace I feel with what the Bible says. So when His Word becomes a personal word, all of a sudden what happens is our lives are being aligned. Our lives are being aligned, not with what we want, but with what He wants. And that's why when you start, how many of you know when you start to pray what God wants, you start to get some powerful answers. You see? So there's this thing that God is doing. God is refining our desires. He's refining us from the inside out when we abide with Him. There's this changing of perspectives. There's something that happens in a person, and it starts to surpass your upbringing. It starts to surpass your culture. It starts to surpass your political position. It starts to surpass all of these different things. We have our opinions, but then God has His opinion. How many know His opinion is the best opinion? How many would say amen with me? Hallelujah. But when we abide, that's when there's a shift. Abiding is, there's a powerful aligning that takes place, and we start to surrender, and then all of a sudden, there's this change. Okay, there's this change. He says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Here's the third last point, and we'll close with this. Okay, then as God starts to align our will with His word, then watch. Then abiding leads to powerful praying. One of the brothers in the office, he's from Africa, and he was saying, you know, you could tell something about a generation, okay? You could tell how much a generation abides by how powerful the prayers of the people are. I thought that was so true. Because how many know throughout history there have been people that prayed and God did powerful things? How many would agree that we need a fresh batch of powerful praying in the city of Chicago in 2016? Oh Lord, make us powerful prayers. Can I get an amen? Could we put our hands together and say, so be it, God. So be it, oh Lord. Something happens. Look, it says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. Why? Because we're going to ask what He wishes. You mean it's possible to be so tuned into the Spirit that even though all of a sudden, intercessory prayer, when someone is really abiding, intercessory prayer begins to explode in your life. Because it's possible even to have 16 different needs right here. But the Holy Spirit, when someone is abiding, the Holy Spirit could say, I don't want you to focus on any of that. So-and-so is in trouble right now. I want you to intercede and pray for them. And you start crying out to God and believing God in a powerful way. Because now you're locked in with the will of the Father. You so aligned your heart that all of a sudden you're just, God, help us to be people in the Spirit, Lord. Help us to be people that are led by the Spirit, that are tuned in to the Holy Spirit, that here, now, wake up now. Wake up at 2 in the morning. Pray for so-and-so. Wake up at 4 in the morning. Here am I, Lord. I'm ready to work. I'm ready to do something powerful in your kingdom, oh God. How many want to have that kind of year in Jesus? Oh God, that's the kind of year we want to have, like the saints of old. Listen, so I just read a quote this morning, okay? And I want to add to the quote, okay? So someone was quoting someone else, so I can't even really put the quote. But he said, referring to a great man of God, William Barclay, was talking to someone, says, man, what's your secret? And he said, contact with loveliness makes us lovely, right? And so I want to expand on that. Listen, the contact with loveliness makes us lovely, and the contact with the powerful one makes us powerful. Okay? How many know when we are really abiding in Christ, we can become powerful for God? Not for ourselves, but powerful for God. And here's what I would say as we're about to close now. We got plenty of time. But as we start this year, and this is kind of what we were doing on Tuesday, man. We just laid down our lives on Tuesday. We surrendered to the Lord and we say, Lord, have your way with my life. Have your way with my life. When we say, God, I want to be close to you. God, I want your words to take charge of my will. I mean, how does someone say to John the Baptist, John, you've got this great ministry going on. You got this powerful ministry. Now everybody's following Jesus. He goes, listen, I know my place. I'm just the groom. I mean, the groomsman. I'm one of the guys standing as a witness. Listen, he must increase and I must decrease. No problem. How many want to be able to say, no problem, let Jesus increase? I just want to be used by God. I just want to be used by God. I just want to pray powerful prayers. See, listen, here's the last thing, and then we're going to close. I believe this passage teaches us that abiding brings us to the point where asking, okay, becomes a direct flow of the Father's heart and will. Okay? You can get so close to God, okay, that when you are asking, you're asking way above and beyond what you want. You are asking what God wants. And how many know we say this all the time? How many know that when we take care of God's business, how many know God is faithful to take care of our business? How many believe that to be true? Amen. Let's put our hands together and say, we praise you, Lord. So listen, Andrew Murray said this, let us realize that we can only fulfill our calling to bear much fruit by praying much. In Christ are hid all the treasures men around us need. In him, all God's children are blessed with all spiritual blessings. He's full of grace and truth, but it needs prayer, much prayer, strong believing prayer to bring these blessings down. Oh God, make us a prayerful people. Okay, so this is the second Sunday of 2016. And we're praying, God, we want to get close to you so that we can pray powerful prayers according to your will, not our own. Do we all have needs? Yes. Do we all have things that we are asking God to do? Yes. Is it right to ask for those things? Yes. Is it a problem to ask our Heavenly Father for the things that we need? No problem. But at this moment, what we want to do is say, God, I don't just want another year of getting through. I want a year of abiding. I am so jealous for you to discover and experience the riches of being close to Jesus. There's nothing more wonderful than just being close to Jesus. I had a parent say to me, you know, my kids have fasted social media before, and whenever they do, at the end of it, they always say, man, that was so good. Why is it so good? Here's why. Because we never regret abiding. We never regret abiding. So here's what I believe. I believe that God is calling us to closeness, and God is calling us to pray powerful prayers in 2016. I believe that God wants to take us so deep in Him that He's going to really be able to use us for His glory. How many want to be used for the glory of Christ this year? Let's sing that. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can give myself. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Now listen, we're going to close the meeting right now, but if you're here, I just want to, we've got some time. I want to open up the altar. I want to open up the altar this morning. And if you want to just come to God and say, God, I want you to grow my prayer life. I want you to grow me as an instrument, oh God, of your plan and purposes in the spiritual realm. God, I want to pray according to your will. I want to know what it is to be in tune with you and in step with you, God. I want to abide with you, God. And so today I'm beginning, I'm drawing near to you, and I'm asking you, Lord, to do whatever needs to take place in my life. Teach me to abide so I can learn to pray. Powerful prayers for your glory and for your honor. Maybe you're here and you've sought God and you've even heard the word of God, but have you really grown in your prayer life? Have you really grown in your sense of abiding? Well, let's begin this year by asking for the grace for this. The Spirit is calling, brothers and sisters. The Spirit is calling. Would you respond to the call today? Slip out of your seat and come and just build an altar here today as we sing and surrender. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I give myself away.
So you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. I sought the Lord. He heard my cry. So you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself.
Come on, let's just begin to pray. They'll keep singing, but you reach out to God now. As they sing, let's, come on, everyone, reach out to God. Let's tell Him we want to be close to Him. We want to be near to Him. We want Him to use us and have His way with our lives. Hallelujah.
Everybody, just a moment. I feel impressed by the Holy Spirit to just say something. If you could just all look up here. The whole time that my husband was preaching, I was brought to a passage. I'm reading right now in the life of Joseph. And in the story, you can keep playing. In the story, Joseph was in prison. And while he was in prison, as you know, he had the special gift of interpreting dreams. While he was in prison, he interpreted the dreams of these two prisoners, and it was right on. One of them was restored back to his position, and one of them was actually killed. How many of you know that story? Well, it turns out that the one who was restored back to his position forgot about Joseph, never told, right, the king that he was a godly man, that the Spirit of God was in him, and said nothing. So 2 years went on. Then the king had a dream and was confused and didn't know what to do with the dream. And it was a dream about that at that point he had no clue. And then that man who was restored remembered Joseph and came back and said, "This man, he's in prison right now. He's a Hebrew, but he will interpret your dream." Joseph came out. And then Joseph told him what the dream meant. And he said, there's going to be a season of plenty in the land, and then there's going to be a season of famine in the land. And he said, so what you need to do is store up during this season, because a season of famine is coming. And I felt so impressed by the Lord, not knowing what we were, the message this week, that was a word of the Lord for us. The reason that God is impressing upon our hearts to pray, that abiding is makes us prayerful, is we don't know what tomorrow holds for the Church of Jesus Christ. And we don't know what's coming. We see certain things. You know, my husband's turning 50. I'm 46 years old. We see things in the church. We see how certain things are headed, and it grieves our hearts. But I believe that the Lord wants us as a people to secure the blessing and store up for the season of famine that may be coming to the generation of my children, my children's children, that in prayer we can store up. How many say amen? That bears witness. That in prayer, we don't know how long we're going to live, but we will store up the blessing. The Spirit of God will still fall upon our next generation. I believe we can lift our hands right now and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I give myself to you in prayer. I give myself to you, Jesus. Lord, we call upon you for this nation, God. We call upon you, oh God. We call upon you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill us so that you could use us, oh God. Fill us so that you could use us, oh God. You are the only answer for America. You're the only answer for Chicago's ills and problems, God. We're your people. We're your church, oh God. Fill us, oh God. Fill us so that we'll have something to give, oh God. Something to offer in the famine, oh God, that is already, oh Lord, taking place in our midst, oh God. We want to abide, oh God. We want to be filled with you, Lord God. Fill us today, oh Lord. Fill us, oh God. Fill us. Take the hand of the person next to you and pray as a church. God, fill your people with your word and with your spirit. Fill us with your will, oh God. Fill us so that we can impact the famine just like Joseph did, oh God. Make us ready. Make us ready to impact the famine, oh God. The emptiness, the darkness, your church is the answer. Your people are the answer for this city. Oh, we lift up the church. Fill the church. Fill the church, oh God. Make us powerful in the spirit, we pray. Churches on the south side and the west side and the north side. Help your church, help your people. Oh God, move us to answer the call to prayer, the call to abide. Help us to abide, oh Lord. Draw us, oh God, to the secret place. We want to be in the secret place with you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not, one more time, everyone. My life is not my own.
to you I belong. I give myself to you.
My life, hallelujah.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that your people receive the call to abide. And I pray, Lord God, for our entire church, that you would make us an abiding people. God, we can't do it to ourselves, but your Spirit can do it in us. Release your people now, God. And God, let this special closeness continue. Let the fellowship, Lord, let it remain unbroken, regardless of tasks or responsibilities. Keep us abiding in you and help us to pray according to your will. We thank you, God, and we praise you for this time that we could spend together in your presence at your feet. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord.